let's begin to lift up our hearts to the triune God, seeking his blessing as we look into his word this evening as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 40. We're focusing this evening on verses 16 through 33. It's found on page 80 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along there. Exodus chapter 40, beginning verse 16, as we continue and we near the end of our evening's sermon series in Exodus titled Jesus in the Journey. And once again this evening, by God's grace, we will see our Lord Jesus Christ foreshadowed in what we see here in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 16, these are the words of the one true and living God. This Moses did, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. In the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, and put the poles on the ark, and set the mercy seat above the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the screen, and screened the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil, and arranged the bread on it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle and set up the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the golden altar in the tent of meeting before the veil and burned fragrant incense on it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put in place the screen for the door of the tabernacle and he set the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered on it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing, with which Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they went into the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. So far the reading of God's holy word, to his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you and ask for your blessing. For we know that Christ has taken upon himself the condemnation, the curse that we deserve, and that through him we receive every blessing from your gracious and generous hand. We pray that as we look into your word, you would indeed bless us this night, that you would make us more and more a people that reflect your glory and that express your love to one another and to our needy community. And may that love, as we've been encouraged this weekend to be, not only a sending church, but a sent church, may that love go out from this place, proclaiming the goodness and the grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord, so that others who do not yet know Christ and his salvation and the satisfaction of soul that he alone gives, that they might come to know him and know that eternal and abundant life that is found in him alone. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, throughout our study of Exodus, we've been considering the calling and the ministry of Moses. The Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt. They cried out to God. God heard their cries. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he graciously raised up a deliverer to deliver them out of Pharaoh's slavery. Moses' name means to pull out or to draw out. And he was given that name by Pharaoh's daughter when she pulled him out of the Nile. And ironically, Moses would be the one that God would call and anoint to draw out, to rescue Israel out of Pharaoh's captivity. And Moses was God's appointed mediator, as we've seen. That mediator, that go-between, between God and his covenant people. They were his people. They were his chosen people. And yet they were a sinful people. And so they needed a mediator, someone to represent God to them and someone to represent them to God. And as we've seen, Moses himself was a sinner. He was not a perfect mediator, but he was God's appointed mediator for Israel at that time during their history. And thus he had special privileges. And he was growing in his relationship with his Redeemer God. God had especially called Moses to oversee the assembly of the tabernacle, that place where God was to be worshipped in the midst of his redeemed people. God had repeatedly told Israel, and he repeatedly told Pharaoh, that he was going to deliver his people out of Egypt for the express purpose that they would be able to worship him. Let my people go that they might serve me, that they might worship me. And the tabernacle was really the culmination of that plan. They are a grateful people represented by the priests and the sacrifices they made would worship their Redeemer who had emancipated them from slavery for that express purpose, to worship their loving Redeemer. What we have in our passage this evening is a record of Moses' mediatorial faithfulness when he erected the temple, that house of worship, that was to be in the center of every encampment that Israel was to make, the center of God of Israel's community life, their religious life, their life of worship. God was to be at the center. And so the tabernacle was going to be front and center in all that they did. I want us to consider Moses' mediatorial faithfulness relative to the assembly of that most important place, that sacred place, the tabernacle, and how it points forward to the mediatorial faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one that Paul told Timothy is the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So first, the mediatorial faithfulness of Moses. As God's appointed mediator, Moses fulfilled all that God had given him to do in the assembly of the tabernacle. Now, we've discussed the various elements of the tabernacle previously in our series in Exodus and their significance and their function. And so we won't reconsider those this evening. Instead, I want us to, again, focus on Moses' faithful execution of all that God had given him to do. Notice again the language of verse 16. We read there, "This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did." And the repetition of the phrase, "as the Lord commanded Moses," that passage almost felt more like a psalm, didn't it? With that refrain throughout in verse 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, and 32 through 33. "As the Lord commanded Moses." In fact, the phrase "as the Lord commanded Moses" is repeated about 20 times between chapter 36 and chapter 40. And that summary statement at the end of verse 33, "so Moses finished the work." As the writer to the Hebrews points out in chapter 8 and verse 5 of his letter, when Moses was about to erect the tabernacle, he was instructed by God saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." Not just some things, but everything that was shown you on the mountain. God had given Moses detailed instructions, a blueprint for the tabernacle, and Moses was to follow it precisely. He was not supposed to add to it or subtract from it. He was to follow the blueprint exactly. When we were building our house, about 3 years ago now, it was a very exciting adventure. We didn't think we were going to be doing that when we moved to Charlotte, but we ended up building our house, and certain promises were made to us by the builder along the way regarding some specific details. And two in particular stand out to me that were promised, but at certain points we weren't sure if we were going to get them. Now, looking back, they sound kind of trivial, but two of them stand out to me in particular. One was a shampoo niche. Okay? A shampoo niche. Now, there's a story behind the shampoo niche in the master bathroom, because Sally had worked for a builder in Atlanta, and the builder that we ended up using here in Charlotte was the competitor of the builder she had worked for, and she knew the quality of this builder, and she knew that one of the things he was famous for was the shampoo niche. Okay? And so we thought we were going to get this shampoo niche, but as the construction of the bathroom was underway, we noticed there wasn't room for the shampoo niche. And so we had to lobby for the shampoo niche, and we got our shampoo niche, right? The other detail that we were promised was there's going to be a certain window in a certain place in the stairwell that was going to provide more light for the family room. And when we went and observed, well, the window hadn't been cut out, and so we had to lobby, and we had to go back and prove that there was indeed supposed to be a window there according to the blueprint that we had been shown. We were specific. We were adamant about getting these things that were promised in the blueprint. And perhaps if you ever build a house, you know that those kinds of details have to be considered, and you have to kind of keep them honest and be accountable. Now imagine Moses. Imagine Moses and the attention to detail that he had. You might imagine him doing all of this with a sense of fear and trembling. He wasn't accountable to some, you know, to himself. He wasn't building a house for himself. He wasn't accountable to some other person for whom he was assembling this abode. He was accountable to Almighty God. This was his house. This was God's dwelling place. And so Moses was sure that every detail that God had revealed in the blueprint, in the pattern that he had shown Moses on the mountain, that every detail was brought into reality through the assembly of the tabernacle. Moses was strikingly faithful to God's design. You know, as you think about your daily life, as you think about your week, the week that just passed, would it be said of you, so you did all that God commanded you? Would that be the refrain of your week? I'm not sure it would be for mine. But Moses was serious. He was focused. He was consecrated as God's appointed mediator on behalf of a sinful people to do on their behalf all that God had given him to do and for God's glory. He finished the work given him to do for God and on behalf of God's people. So first, the mediatorial faithfulness of Moses. The second, the mediatorial faithfulness of Christ our Lord. Moses' thorough mediatorial faithfulness pointed forward to an even better, an infinitely better mediator and an infinitely better covenant. That new covenant, we are told in Hebrews 8:13, made the old one obsolete. And we are thankful for that, aren't we? It's obsolete. It's finished. It's over. There's a new mediator, and there's a new covenant. Whereas that old covenant with Moses and the tabernacle and Aaron and all the priests and all the animal sacrifices, while that was temporary, the new covenant with the person and work of Jesus is permanent. It is eternal. Moses' ministry in the tabernacle he erected was a copy, a shadow of the heavenly reality of Christ and of the perfect salvation he has accomplished for his sinful people. What is said about Moses in Exodus chapter 40, that he did all the Lord commanded him and that he finished the work that God had given him to do, can be said of Christ in a way that it actually couldn't be said of Moses, for we know that Moses had his failures. Sometimes his temper got the better of him. Your temper ever get the better of you? Some of us explode, others of us implode, but nevertheless, our temper can get the better of us. One time a lady said to D.L. Moody, she said, you know, my temper, it's not that bad because, you know, I express it and then I get it out of the way and it's all over with. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. And Moody said, well, you know, a shotgun blast happens very quickly too. But the damage it does can be devastating, permanently devastating, many times. Well, Moses had a temper. And in Moses we see a man saved by grace, and a man that God was working on, and indeed a modest man. We're told he's the most humblest man on the face of the earth, and yet he struggled with a temper that comes from pride and that's rooted in his impatience, which again is rooted in pride and thinking things need to go my way right away. Well, because of Moses' temper, his sinful temper, he was not able to enter the promised land. God had to raise up another leader, Joshua, to fulfill that part of God's work of delivering Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. As Andrew Murray, the great devotional writer, put it, Jesus, gloriously, is both our Moses, who leads us out of Egypt, and our Joshua, who leads us into the promised land. Moses, because of his sin, only fulfilled half the work of Israel's redemption. Christ, through his perfect mediatorial faithfulness, fulfills all of our redemption. Through his perfect life and his atoning death, he, like Moses, delivers us out of the bondage of sin and the condemnation that we deserve, but also through his resurrection and his ascension and his ongoing session, he delivers us into God's heavenly kingdom. He not only delivers us from hell, he delivers us into eternal life with God, ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth. We have an all-sufficient mediator. As we mention often here at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." By which he meant all the work, not just some of the work, but all the work that his Father gave him to do for our salvation has been finished. He lived the perfect life that we have failed to live, such that there is nothing more for us to do in order to get right with God. Listen to that. Let that sink in afresh. Jesus lived the perfect life that was required by God, such that you don't have to keep trying to earn God's love by getting it just right. Jesus got it just right. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness on your behalf and on my behalf. And he died the death that we deserve, such that there is not one ounce of God's wrath left for you to pay for. Not one ounce of it. When he drank the cup of God's wrath, he drank it, every drop of it. Not one drop of wrath left for those who trust in Jesus. He drank that cup so that we might drink this cup tonight, the cup of God's blessing that overflows with blessings, eternal blessings, for all who trust in Jesus. Before his death and in his death, he put everything in order. He did exactly what needed to be done for his beloved bride. A few years ago, someone told me the story of an elderly couple. And early in their marriage, the husband began a yearly tradition. So after his wife would go to bed on the eve of her birthday, he would sneak out and he would set up at her place at the breakfast table a flower and a birthday card and a little gift. And this went on for 50, 60 years. And one morning on her birthday, she awoke to find that her husband had passed away during the night. And so she, of course, called in EMTs and eventually called in the family and so forth. And she totally forgot that it was her birthday until she went into the kitchen. And there at her place at the breakfast table was the flower and the card and the gift. He had put everything in order. He had finished the work that he had purposed to do for his beloved bride. So it was with Christ. Before his death and in his death, he finished the work that he purposed to do on behalf of his beloved bride. Dear friend, live in that assurance of Christ's love for you. Live in that freedom. Live in the joy of his salvation, knowing that he has done it all, that he finished the work that we have not performed, the work that we will never perform perfectly in this life. He has done it for us. And because of that, we can live in his freedom and we can grow in showing others the love that he has shown us and living unto the Father by the grace of the Son with the help of the Holy Spirit. With that assurance, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful Son. We confess to you that we have time and time again been unfaithful. We have not performed the work that you have given us to do as your disciples, as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as ambassadors for Christ in our workplace and in our community. Lord God, forgive us of our sins. Make us to know afresh the cleansing blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Sanctify us by your grace that we might be more and more like your faithful Son in our daily lives. And as we approach your table, grant us that assurance, that conviction that we are loved with a love that will not let us go, and that our worthiness to come to the table is not found in ourselves, but found in our faithful Savior who said on the cross, "It is finished." The debt that we owed, He paid in full. And we praise you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.